Take your Bibles, please, and go to Genesis chapter number 6, the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading at the very first verse, Genesis chapter 6. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same were become mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And I want to read you one verse. I'll just read it to you, Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to give you three Bible facts about today. Three Bible facts about today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word. Lord, make it fresh and new. Lord, I pray that these truths that we will bring forth, God, to some, they know these truths. This will just be a reminder. But I pray, Lord, that it would be a reminder in a fresh light and in a fresh way. And to some, Lord, these may be new truths. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause your Holy Spirit to help these truths to impact them and change them according to your will. Lord, we pray for that one that may have come without Christ as their Savior. I certainly would like to see them saved this morning. And Lord, maybe someone else, Lord, that's come with a specific need. They've got a heartache, a burden. Lord, whatever they need, I pray that you would minister to their hearts during the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Three Bible facts about today, or three Bible facts about the day in which we live. Today, we live in the days of Noah. That's fact number one. Today, we live in the days of Noah. You say, well, Pastor Jerry, how does that translate? What do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says that when the earth becomes as it was in the days of Noah, to lift up your eyes, folks, redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is getting ready to come back. And today we are living in the days, the type of days, the kind of days, the kind of climate that they lived in when Noah was alive and right before the flood came. Let me just go down and read a list of things to stir your hearts a little bit this morning, all right? We live in the days of Noah. The days of Noah, first of all, were days of great wickedness in the earth. We just read in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continue. Today, we live in the days of Noah. Today is the day of the gay rights movement. We live in great wickedness in the earth. Homosexuals. Pastor Ross calls them, from a biblical standpoint, sodomites. They're marching in the streets. Christians can be mistreated. Christians can be abused. Terrible things can happen to Christians. It'll never make the nightly news. But let one thing ever happen to a homosexual, and it'll be the opening story on the evening news. They're being persecuted. Hate crimes, they call them, against these poor people that are just trying to find their place in society. God says homosexuality is sin. God says sodomy is sin. And that's what the Bible says. We live in the day of legislated murder, abortion, murder of the unborn. We live in a day of premarital sex. We live in a day of pornography. You know, there used to be a day, I think I mentioned this to our Sunday school classroom, some of you that are from the generation that's before me, there was a day where you can't even imagine having access to what's available today. I mean, you can't even imagine. If somebody wanted to see a pornographic film or to see a pornographic book, 30 years ago or 40 years ago, they'd have had to get in their car, they'd have had to drive to the nearest big city, they'd have had to go to some seedy downtown red light district, they'd have had to park their car and sneak into a couple of establishments that hadn't been burned down or closed down yet. But now today, our young people can get on the internet and have access to just about any kind of filth you can imagine. Cable TV is pumping it right in from the satellites right into our living rooms. We can walk down to the video stores, and Christians shouldn't, and real Christians don't, because Christian means Christ-like, but they can go into the video stores and rent R-rated movies and X-rated movies and watch it, and it's a terrible time for us today. And don't think that doesn't affect our young people's mind. Don't think it doesn't lead to premarital sex and things like that. Today is a day of adultery. Now let me say a word to you young people, because I'm concerned about this. I want you to listen to me. Unfortunately, at the Ross House, we haven't been able to hardly listen to the news in about 6 months. And I think all of you adults can understand why, and most of you teenagers can understand why. With little children in my house, I can't turn on the evening news. But I want to make something very clear and very plain. Because the topics that have been in the news may have lessened your fear or taken away your awe for certain things, I want to warn our young people about something. I don't care if it's the President of the United States, I don't care who it is that commits adultery, it is still a wicked sin in God's eyes. It's a terrible, wicked, filthy thing. Any of you young people, you say, Pastor Jerry, not in this, any young people involved in premarital sex right now, you need to get right with God. You're putting yourself in a position where God is going to have to judge your life. And you better take it serious. You better listen to what I have to say. You know, well, the president does, people do it, and it seems like, you know, I'm so tired of the newscast coming in there, and the defense for sin in the White House is everybody's doing it. Well, everybody's not doing it. And if everybody was doing it, it would still be a sin against God, and it would still bring God's judgment. Some of you need to go back and find Proverbs chapter 6 and reread it. So maybe I'll do that. Let me just read that to you real quick, because I think it's time that we be reminded of something. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why did it just say all of that? Why are we to do all of those things? To keep thee from the evil woman, the flattery tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Are you young men listening to this? You better wake up. Well, I can do this and I can sin and I'm having my fun and I'm going to get away with it. I'm telling you that the Bible says you'll be brought to a piece of bread. I'm telling you that the Bible says that a dart is going to strike through your liver. For by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now listen to this. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Well, I'm involved in this and I'm not getting hurt. You just hold on, buddy. You're about to catch fire. Now, all you young people listen to me. If you're in this room today and you're pure and you're clean and you're a virgin, you're supposed to stay that way till you reach the marriage altar. I don't care what society's doing. I don't care what you hear. I don't care what you see in the public schools. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't you understand God sees everything? You laugh and smirk about this. I'm going to tell you what. I'll be attending your funeral. You better listen to me and you better take this serious. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, you heard it from a man of God. For just a moment here, I'm drawing a circle around myself. I'm separating myself from everybody in this room for just a moment. I'm speaking like a prophet of God from the Word of God. Somebody's got to stand up and say, adultery is wrong, premarital sex is wrong, and those involved in it, you're fooling yourself if you think you're going to reach down into a big campfire and grab a whole handful of fire and say, and bring it to your bosom, but you're not going to get burned. You are going to get burned. You're setting yourself up for a life of sin or a life of heartache and a life of grief. And let me tell you something. If you're involved in it, I mean this. I'm serious about this. You ought to get to an altar this morning. You ought to confess that sin before God. You ought to cry out for mercy from God. You need to get to somebody and get some help. Are you listening to me? I'm so tired of watching Satan trick young people and end up causing young people to ruin their lives over this matter of their purity. You stay pure. You stay clean. You let people laugh. You let people mock. Buddy, they won't be laughing and mocking 10 years from now. When they're in their third or fourth marriage and their life's a mess and their body's full of disease and you've got a good marriage and you're clean and pure and you've got a happy family, let's see who is smirking at. Pastor, did somebody look at you wrong? I don't know. I just got it written in my notes. If nobody smirks, act like they did. All right, so on. It's a time of great wickedness, folks. It's a time of premarital sex and pornography and adultery and immodesty. God help us. Pastor Jerry, what about this weather change? You know what? Any man in here that wants to do right's got to say in their hearts, whether you like winter or not, praise God it's here. I get so tired of going to town and having to look this way and look this way and look this way and look this way and look this way because we've got a bunch of indecent people that don't have enough decency to get up in the morning, open their closet, and put some clothes on. And the Bible says something about that too. He says it's sin. It's sin. It's sin. We got a society of drunkards. Terrible sins going on. Cursing. Every once in a while around here, some of you kids, maybe you come from homes where you haven't been taught any better, but listen to me a minute. Every once in a while, even in the church building, I'll hear some kid slip and use God's name in vain. You know you've just broken one of the Ten Commandments? You know you've taken the name of the being that created you and you've just slurred it and slandered it? How many times do you men in the workplace in one day hear somebody say God's name in vain? I mean, can you even estimate it? Can you even imagine? Can you even give me an estimation? Pastor Jerry, good night. I might hear that dozens of times during the day, scores of times during the day. I don't know. Maybe some of you say, the honest truth is I hear God's name cursed hundreds of times a day. I want you to think about God for a minute, what He feels about that. That's you. That's just what you're hearing. Do you realize God hears everything? I wonder how many times, let's just use our imagination, I just wonder how many times in the city of Jasonville, in one day, God listening to everybody, everything that everybody says in one little small town, one day, God listening to everything that everybody says. I wonder how many times in one day, in one small town, does God have to hear His name slandered, somebody say, God, in an irreverent manner. That's one town. Now let's expand that. Let's imagine how many times in Greene County, God's listened to all of Greene County, and in one day, He hears all over Greene County, hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe tens of thousands of times a day, people slur His name and slander His name. Well, let's expand that. What about the state of Indiana? How many times, folks, are we talking millions yet? Of times that God, who loves us and created us and have given us breath and health and freedom and allowed us to live in America, how many times in one day in the state of Indiana does God, millions and millions of times does He hear people under their breath or out loud curse His name? How many times in the entire country, how many times in the entire world, how many times from this globe, this sphere, does God listen constantly, time and time again, people slander His name and slander His name and slander His name and use His name in vain. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm amazed sometimes that God withholds His judgment from America as much as He has. We live in a time of disobedience to parents. We live in a time of lying. We live in a time of dishonesty. We live in a time of terrible, filthy sins. Today is a day of great wickedness. Today, folks, we live in a day of Moses. We live in a day of widespread violence. I read to you in Genesis chapter 6. We read down verse number, if we read down verse number 11 through 13, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. We live in a day of widespread violence and corruption. We live in a day where the news, folks, watching the news on, I mean, you take away every story about what's going on in the White House, you take away all those stories, it's still hard to have the news on. Just seems like we live in such a terrible, violent time. We live in a time of riots. We live in a time of rape. We live in a time of child molestation. We live in a time of murder. We live in a time of arson. Folks, remember when a serial killer used to be a freak? I mean, now they're everywhere. It just seems like you hear a story all the time. Folks, it's not happening just in Chicago. It's not happening just in Indianapolis. It's not happening just in St. Louis. It's happening in Greene County. We live in a time of terrible violence, days of widespread violence and corruption. We live in the days of Noah. We live in days, thank goodness, of the preaching and warning of upcoming judgment. And 2 Peter 2:5 says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and along with the violence and along with the sin, there are some men of God that are preaching and warning and saying, folks, Jesus is coming again, Jesus is coming again, Jesus is coming again, Jesus is coming again. This is the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Did you know that's where you're sitting? Now that wasn't a name picked out of a hat, folks. I was there when they chose the name. This is a church that from its foundations has set a priority of watching for the return of Jesus Christ and of preaching about Christ's return. Jesus is coming again. It's days of preaching and warning of upcoming judgment, but unfortunately most of the world turns a deaf ear to this. These are days of selfishness, scoffing, and unbelief. The more you preach about Jesus coming back, the more you hear such statements as you read about in 2 Peter 3:4, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We live, first of all, folks, in the days of Noah. Today, we live in the day of Noah. That's fact number one. Now, let me hasten to fact number two. Number two, today could be the day of Christ's return. Because we live in the days of Noah, this could be the day of Christ's return. I'm talking about today. Today could be the day of Christ's return. Now, I read a verse out of Matthew chapter 24. Let's go there, if you will, in your Bible. Let me read just a small portion, and then I want to show you something. Today could be the day of Christ's return. Matthew 24 and verse number 37. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Today could be the day of Christ's return. We're instructed there to watch because we don't know when it is. We don't know what day it is, but everything's set up for it. I mean, we live in the days. No prophecies needs to be fulfilled. And one of these days, Jesus is coming back again. I'm talking about the rapture of the church. Now let me have you turn to 1 Thessalonians, if you will, chapter 4. Now for some of you, this is a review so far, but I want to not assume that everybody understands what the rapture is. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or who have already died, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Let me have you three young men, Chad and Levi and Andrew, would you come up here? Folks, Jesus is going to come back pretty soon. Come right up here on the platform, okay? You stand in a straight line right here and face the front there, all right? Jesus is coming back pretty soon. We're living in the days of Noah right now. Are you reading your newspaper? Are you listening to the news? We're living right now in the days of Noah. And God looked down during the days of Noah and said, you know what, I'm not going to always put up with this stuff. I'm going to send a flood and I'm going to destroy man. Now, Jesus, how many, by the way, did you see? We got off school the other day and we had that rainstorm, real heavy rainstorm. And then right after that rainstorm, we got in the car. Matter of fact, we ran to the car in the rain. And then it was one of those deals where it kept raining and the sun's still out. The sun starts coming out, but it's still pouring. And so we backed the car up to head over, and we looked right over here. And It looked like there was a rainbow, and that rainbow looked like it was coming out of that cornfield right across the field. I mean, I've never seen one that seemed like it landed that close. Say, what'd you do? I told the girls, get out of the car. We got to get that pot of gold before that thing. This man alive. Christians can't win the lottery, or can't play the lottery. So we got to just chase rainbows. But it was just beautiful. And what is that rainbow there for? It's a promise. God says, I won't destroy the world by water anymore, but that doesn't mean he's not going to come again and destroy it in another manner. What is the rapture of the church? Well, the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to show you what the rapture is. I want to give you a perfect illustration. All of you have never seen. Maybe you never thought through these verses, and I want you to understand what's going to happen. God right now is looking down at the earth. He's looking down at America. He's looking down at all the other countries, and he sees what he saw in the days of Noah. Do you believe that? And the time's getting close. Now, the Bible says nobody knows what time Jesus is going to return. Only God the Father himself knows this. And so the angels of heaven are all looking over, and Jesus is looking over, and I think the angels sometimes look back at the Father like, any time now, Lord. I mean, it's pretty bad down there. But one of these days, God's going to give Jesus the nod. He's going to say, it's time. And the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, you're going to be the Lord, okay? You're the Lord himself. The Lord himself, all right? And you're going to descend from heaven one of these days with a shout. One of these days, the Father's going to look over you and give you the nod, and it's going to be time for you to come back to earth. Now, you're not going to come all the way back to earth. You're just going to go to the clouds. I don't want you to get confused here, okay? Just go as far as the clouds, all right? And then you're going to call up all of the folks that are saved to come out of this earth. And boy, following this, folks, 7 years of terrible tribulation, you don't want to be left. Now, in the book of Revelation, Pastor just taught us the other night that when the Lord called John up and gave us a little picture of the rapture, he said, come up hither. All right, so I'm going to assume that's what the Lord's going to say. I don't know exactly, but let's just assume that's what he's going to say. Now, Jesus is going to say, come up hither. All right? So remember, you're the Lord now. You can't give some wimpy, come up hither. You know, all right? You got to really do it. The whole world's got to hear you, okay? I mean, so, you know, some of these folks, I mean, sound sleepers. If they're asleep, you got to, all right? Are you ready? All right? So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Come forth hither.
No. Okay, all right. Come up hither. All right, here we go. The Lord, now he's going to get it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Come up hither.
All right, that's pretty good. All right, then the Bible goes on to say, not only that's going to happen, but it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. We have... why are your sisters laughing when I said that? Here's the archangel. By the way, let me just say for a minute here, I believe something. I think the angels of heaven, they can't figure out why in the world the Lord's waiting. Can you imagine the angels in heaven looking down from heaven and seeing what they see in this world today? And they're kind of looking over their shoulders, and they're not going to question God because they know their place. But I got to imagine that in the angel coffee room when they take their coffee breaks, you know, they got to be saying, why is he not going? I mean, what's he waiting for? I don't know how this thing can get any worse than it is. And I think there's an archangel that's just sitting there, and he's looking down at all the earth and all the terrible things that are going on, all the wickedness, all the sin. He's looking at the Father, and he's looking at the earth, and he's looking at the Father. And the angels are looking at all this, and they're thinking, boy, this thing's got to come to an end pretty soon. Now, folks, I'm not an angel, and I don't have their perspective, but I'm looking around feeling the same thing. This can't go on much longer. The Lord's going to come back. So the archangel's been, he's trying to be patient, but he really, really wants the Lord to get this thing over with. So one of these days, the Father's going to give the Son the nod, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Come up hither.
And then it says the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel's been, you got to understand, folks, they've been waiting for thousands of years for this day. I mean, they can't wait. They want the Lord to go down. They want the Lord to get his own that's being persecuted and blasphemed on this earth. He wants them to bring him to heaven. He can't wait for the bride to show up. He's been smelling from the kitchen, the marriage supper of the Lamb being prepared, and he's hungry. And he wants this thing over with. He wants to see. And so he's excited about it. And he can't wait. So we're going to assume that this archangel here is from the south. And so when he finally hears the Lord say, come up hither, he's going to say, yee-haw!
Okay, ready? Now here we go. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Come up hither.
And the voice of the archangel.
Yeah!
All right. Now here's the angel in heaven that's in charge of the trumpet, okay? His job is to blow the trumpet. He was given this trumpet. I don't understand how he got it. I don't know what he did to get it. He must have did something good sometime. The Lord said, here, I'm going to give you this trumpet, and I want you to save this trumpet. Now don't blow it. Don't play it. It's for one reason and one reason only. When I decide to go back after my own, I want you to blow this trumpet. So you've got to understand, this guy's been over there clearing the mouthpiece for quite a few years now. He keeps looking over his shoulder all the time, and he's waiting. He's looking down at earth, and he's seeing what I just talked about a few minutes ago, the days of Noah. He was there in the days of Noah. He's saying inside of his heart, Lord, I don't see any difference between when you sent the flood and what's going on now. If anything, it seems like it's almost worse. I mean, look at what's going on in America. Look at, they're killing unborn babies, Lord. They laugh and scoff when a preacher talks about purity. They don't hold to that. I mean, they're swapping wives like they do baseball cards. I don't understand what's going on, Lord. I mean, why don't you put an end to this thing, Lord? And he's been sitting there, and he's clearing, and he's looking. He's got that trumpet up. I mean, his arms are getting a little tired. And he's smelling the food from the kitchen, too. He wants this thing to go. He can't wait. So finally, when the Lord says, come up hither, and this guy here goes, yeah! This guy here is going to grab that trumpet. He's been waiting. This is his big day. And he's going to go, da-da-da-da-da-da! So the father's looking down and he's seeing 1998. He's seeing, is this October 11th? He's looking down October 11th, 1998. I mean, folks, the sin of the earth just raises before, and the wickedness of the earth is just continually before him. And he hears the cry of the innocent blood of babies being murdered by the millions in America every year. He watches politicians, leaders commit heinous acts, disregard for leadership, not care about anything moral, decent. This morning, he's looking down and he's watching a minute percentage of people in America even bother to get out of bed, can't get their lazy carcasses out of bed and wander to the house of God and give God 1 hour on a Sunday. They are out worshiping the holy camper and the holy boat and the Sunday paper and everything else. They don't care about God. And he's seen it. He's sick of it. It's time. His patience has been stretched rubber band thin, and it's time. It's just time. So God finally looks over at Jesus and he says, now.
Come up hither.
Yeah! All right. Now, they lost boldness a little bit because of that very weak kind of sissified come up hither. All right, so we're going to try that again. All right? All right? All right? So, and I gave such a great build up to that. I was up here now. All right. So the father gets tired of it, and he looks over and says, now.
Come up hither.
Yeah! All right, let's give him a hand. That's pretty good, all right? Okay, good.
You say, Pastor Jerry, that's really going to happen. That's really going to happen. And it can happen today. And one of these days, God's just going to say, it's time, son. Let's go get him. It's time. Let's go get them. I mean, the earth's full of violence. I mean, the earth's full of wickedness. Look at the imagination of the hearts of men. Only evil continues. It's time. It's time. Let's just go get them. And today could be the day that Jesus Christ will return. Folks, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. The door then will then be shut. Just like they shut the door on the ark, there's a day when the door will be shut. It'll be shut. All of what you just seen is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen so fast, no one will have a chance to react. Well, I'll get saved just before the rapture. No, you won't. You won't have time. Well, I'll get saved. When I see all the Christians are gone, I'll get saved. No, the Bible says you'll be deceived and you'll believe a lie. You won't get saved. You're going to the 7 years of tribulation. You're going to follow the Antichrist. You're going to get the mark of the beast. Are you listening to me? If you're not saved, you need to be saved today. Today we live in the days of Noah. Today could be the day of Christ's return. Today ought to be the day that you receive Christ as your personal Savior. What are you going to do when the rain begins to fall? The door was shut. The door was shut. Genesis 17, verse number 16 says, and God shut the door. He said, Noah, get in here.
Get your boys in here. Get their wives in here. Noah, get your wife in here. All the animals are loaded. And the Bible says, God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, no man can open it. What are you going to do when the rain begins to fall? What are you going to do when God begins to open up the seven vials? What are you going to do when God begins to break the seven seals? What are you going to do when one-third of the sea begins to turn to blood? What are you going to do when one-third of the fresh water becomes bitter? What are you going to do when one-third of the light of the sun and the stars are dimmed? What are you going to do when the locusts come, hideous locusts, that have the face of a man in armor and can't be defeated and can't be killed by man? When the sun turns so hot that it scorches man's back, what are you going to do when all of the fresh water turns to blood? What are you going to do when the sun is darkened and darkness becomes on the earth? What are you going to do when there's thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake and men go to the rocks and hide themselves and say, fall on me, fall on me, fall on me? What are you going to do when the rain starts to fall? You don't have to be here. You don't have to be here. If you came to Jesus Christ this morning and asked Him to be your personal Savior, if you got saved this morning, you won't have to worry about if Jesus Christ comes back today. Three facts about today. Number one, folks, we live in the days of Noah. Number two, today could be the day that Jesus comes back. Number three, today ought to be the day that you receive Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. No one looking around. You may be here without Jesus as your Savior. You may say, Pastor Jerry, if I died right now, I don't know 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. I just don't know that for sure. And boy, when you were preaching, inside of my heart, God was dealing with my heart. Inside of my heart, God was dealing with my heart. And man, I know that I need to make a decision. I need to get saved. Some of you may be here, and you've come to this church for some time. Say, Pastor, I've come here, but I've just kind of played the game, and people think I'm saved, but I'm not really saved. Somebody talked to me once about being saved, and I kind of did what they said, but I'm not really saved. And the Holy Spirit, He's telling me that right now. He's telling me you're not saved. You need to get saved this morning. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. Somebody here, and you're not saved, I plead with you. I plead with you to get saved today. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know. I know He could come back today. This could be the last Bible message you ever hear before Jesus comes back. This could be the last invitation that you ever stand through before Jesus comes back. Wouldn't it be a shame if Jesus came back at 1 o'clock today for you to see, say in your heart, you know what, an hour ago, an hour and a half ago, I could have gotten saved if I'd have just done it. I wouldn't have to be here. Heavenly Father, I pray You speak to hearts, Lord. Someone's here without Christ, I pray that they'd be saved. Lord, may we as Christians realize what it means that Jesus could come back today. May it change the way we think, the way we act, the way we live. Give us a burden for the lost around us, Lord. Give us a burden for lost family members, afresh and anew. In Jesus' name, amen.